talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's happening with my hair? Did you ever have one of those hair days where you look and you're like, I don't even look like I showered. Like, I don't look, I'm like, what happened? It's just.
You do. You look like you showered.
I did.
Yes. You did.
And my hair is just having a bad, I'm having a bad hair day. I'm having a bad hair day.
No, it's just it's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. So I'm having a bad hair day. And after this, I'm going to go perform in some elementary school plays. So I'm very excited about that.
Fun.
The young storytellers thing. Christine Lakin.
I did that a few years ago.
Yeah, Christine Lakin had asked me to do it at her kids' school. And I was like, oh my God, absolutely. Because my girls had done it when they were in elementary school. So it should be fun.
That's so cool. I did it when Teddy Biaselli from Netflix. I don't know if he was part of it or organizing it. I don't know. And then Adam Hagenboo was there.
Yes.
We were like the two Gibbler representatives.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And who else was there? Yeah, it was fun. Just like improv and acting with the kids.
I'm very excited. It should be a lot of fun. But luckily the elementary school kids won't care if my hair looks like crap.
your hair looks fine. It looks fine. For this podcast?
That's true. I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, we see 7 seconds of a clip on, well, maybe more like 60, but still. It's fine.
Yeah, I still put on makeup even though I'm just here at home, but I still, you know, want to look presentable.
Is this our pre-show chatter? Pre-show chatter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't get a clap or an action, but let's roll with it. I'm feeling
feisty
today.
There we go. Look, now we have one. I mean, we can include all the stuff before that too, but now at least you feel like we've officially started.
We've begun.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel it. I'm on.
Yes.
Hello. Jazz hands.
Oh, ooh.
I'm on.
Ooh, jazz hands.
Hi.
So last night we went out to Benihana for Zoe's birthday. Her birthday's in a couple days, but we went out last night for a little family dinner. It was very fun. And her and B are now like, it's hilarious how they went as sisters from like, don't look at me, don't sit next to me, to now they were like cracking each other up, holding hands, just crying, laughing at the table last night of their own little
sweet.
Like their own little thing. It was sweet. Until it was annoying, but then it was very sweet. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. That's what you hope for.
Seriously.
With your kids, you're like, I just want you to not kill each other.
Yeah.
Please get along.
Because there was a time I was like, I don't know if they should be on the same, in the same hallway. But now.
In the same zip code.
Yeah,
right?
In the same house. But no, they're like best buddies now. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, but then they team up against me. So that's sort of scary. But it's okay.
Well. It's still sweet in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's, you know. Yeah. Because they're teaming up together.
Yeah, Felicity's birthday was yesterday.
Oh, that's right. We went out to dinner, too. I always forget Felicity's so close. Yeah.
They're like two days. Hers is the 10th. Yep. And Zoe's is the 12th. Yes. That's right. Yeah, so we do, but I don't know if you do like the blended family dinner.
We did.
So that's always fun. And I thought, because Felicity's 17 this year, so I'm like, do we really still want to do these blended family dinners?
I mean,
like,
it's right.
She was upset that I even suggested it. She's like, why wouldn't you want to go? Are you fighting with dad? And I'm like, no, I just you're 17. How long are we going
to
do this?
At what point do I have to, you get to not do this. Yeah. No, it was my parents weren't able to come last night, but they are meeting us down this weekend in Orange County for brunch with Zoe and I.
Aww.
So that'll be nice. It was her dad and his mom and then Mescal and I and B and Zoe and her boyfriend. So,
Yeah, lots going on at that table.
So much. Yep. Yeah, it was it's fun.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, no, it's very cute. And they actually had a really good time and they were cracking up. And and it was hilarious to watch Zoe try and not smile when the Benihana chef was like doing all of his, you know how like when you're 16, you're like, I can't be like, this is funny or silly or like, so it was literally like watching her face like she's, I'm not going to smile. I'm not going to laugh. And so I was having a great time. Like they came over and sang with the tambourine for the birthday thing, which she hates, right? If it were me, I would hate it. But it wasn't me. It was her. So I loved it. And I was like dancing. And she was like, oh my God. Oh.
Mortification.
Oh, completely. Yes. I was like, happy birthday. Like just a mess. And she was like, oh my God. Her and B were like, this is so embarrassing. And I was like, uh-huh. Yeah, it is. It's great.
That's the joy you get as a parent.
It really is.
Getting to embarrass your children when they're older.
I was just sitting there and I did like a little something like this. And like they both looked at each other as though I had like stripped down naked in the middle of the restaurant and was the most embarrassing human ever. They was like, what is mom doing? Oh my God, is she like actually enjoying herself? I was like, yeah, someday you will too when you're not a teenager.
It doesn't take much to embarrass them.
No. Existing, basically. Uh-huh. I can exist and be like, hi! You're like, oh, stop. Yeah.
But those Benihana guys, they're very impressive. I know. I've done it.
I thought about last night was you. When Kimmy did the hibachi, is it hibachi?
The hibachi grill.
Yeah, the hibachi grill.
Yes.
And how we learned a really interesting fact that they don't really train women to do that skill.
That skill, right. It's very sexist.
It is.
They could not find a female hibachi chef to come in and double my hands.
Yeah.
So they tried to like, they tried to use one of the guy's hands.
Right.
And it's like, no, he's got large man hands. Like, there's just no way.
Yeah. And then they tried to like make them more your skin color. And then it looked, we were like, why is he dead? What's happening to his hands?
He just turned out gray.
And we were like, oh, look, there's a corpse doing the hibachi grill.
With large hairy man hands.
They even
shaved his hands. They shaved this poor man's hands. I felt so bad.
That was all I could think of last night. And I did tell the story. I was like, did you know that they don't? And of course, everyone's like, great. And I was like, and then they had to paint his hands. And everyone's like, why are you telling the story? And yeah. And I will tell
it's
that story.
It's only amusing to us.
For every time I go to a Benihana or a similar restaurant, I'll be like, this one time. When I was on a show,
in my day,
you know, they don't have female hibachi chefs. Yeah.
That's so funny.
But yeah, all I could think of was you. They were like, can you learn to do this? And you were like, what?
And I did.
You did.
Over rehearsal.
It was impressive.
I wasn't actually cooking. I wasn't cooking, but I was able to flip the things.
Yeah.
And crack the egg throw a bunch of rice around.
I was very impressed.
Thank you.
And in fact, I wish you would have been there to cook dinner last night. But, you know, next time.
Love it.
Next time.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Can you imagine if you showed up and you came out and you're like, hi, and decided to just really lean into it and be like, I am your hibachi chef this evening and go full Kimmy Gibbler.
Right. Full Kimmy. No hesitation. Yeah. Just take over.
Yeah.
Just walk in and take over.
So that was our fun last night. So yeah, we both look at us going through, you know, kids' birthdays, 16, birthdays. 17, blended family dinners.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot to relate to.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
This is us.
And every year when the birthday comes, I'm always like, am I did I do a thing? Did I just like make them feel, you know, because as they get older, like you said, you kind of go like, do we have to, are we still doing a big thing? What are we doing?
Right. So why are we still doing these traditions?
But well, they're traditions.
It means a lot to the kids. That's true. What
it does.
Learned.
It means a lot to them. And I'm
they love it.
All about it. But
yeah.
But yeah, I just.
They love their routines. They love their predictability.
Whatever happened
whatever
to
happened
it.
Whatever happened to predictability.
It's at Andrea Barber's house is where it is. Yep.
Or Benihana's.
Or Benihana. Yeah. Whatever happened to predictability. It's at Benihana's.
Well, let's get into this this episode today, shall
let's.
We?
I have thoughts on this
I
one.
Got thoughts.
I got thoughts.
I got thoughts, oh. too. I wonder if we have the same thoughts.
Is your thought that it goes Sea Cruise then this episode?
Oh, really?
I don't love this episode.
Oh, I don't know if I feel... Okay, I didn't love this episode either.
I'm
putting
curious
it, about your reasons. Let's just get into it.
But I, yeah, this not that it was. If we're just ranking ones that I don't love, this was up there with Sea Cruise. Yeah,
up there with Sea Cruise. Yeah. Okay,
Sea Cruise is still in a category of its own as far as what the hell was
it
happening.
It is,
but this one is also like, what's the point? And there is a montage.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we get to that. Okay. All right, let's focus.
Let's get into it, and otherwise we'll just spend 45 minutes talking about how much we hate this episode instead of doing the actual
right.
outline.
And I don't
here,
hate
so, okay.
it. I just have thoughts.
Okay, we'll get there.
All right.
We're getting to our thoughts. Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. I'm Andrea Barber.
And I'm Jody Sweeten.
And today we're discussing season 2, episode 16, titled Baby Love. This title, of course, is from the 1964 song by the Supremes, "Baby Love."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I won't sing. I won't sing anymore. Too early in the morning for that.
It was great.
Thank you. Anyways, this originally aired on February 24th, 1989, and it goes a little something like this: Michelle develops a crush on Rebecca's nephew.
I mean, that alone, like, it just feels like a
she's
a rather
two.
Anticlimactic. Log line for the episode. I'm just saying.
It felt like forced sad. Like they were manipulating the audience into being so sad for this 2-year-old who has a broken heart. And I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
Okay. Anyways, it was directed by Peter Baldwin, written by Jeff Franklin. And we have a few guest stars this week. We have Debbie Gregory as Connie.
That's Debbie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I didn't know if we were going to like talk about that or.
Well, it's Jeff's ex. And
Jeff's
it was an interesting.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. It was just, there's funny stories there. But anyway.
There's funny stories.
I forgot that she was in this episode.
She's in this. This is her first of 5 appearances on Full House. She also did 8 episodes of Hearts of Fire and a couple of other guest spots on Empty Nest and Cheers.
Oh.
So, yes. Full House was not, we did not kill her career. Yet.
Right.
It's coming.
Still time.
And then as Howie, we have twin girls. We have Kara and Kimberly Albright.
Wait, what?
Yes. They're twin girls who also did 26 episodes of Knott's Landing. I don't know if they played a boy or a girl on Knott's Landing. But yeah, these are girls. That hair was very boyish. I don't know if they just cut their hair into bowl cuts. Like, you're genuinely shocked right
now. I had no idea. I just didn't remember that at all. Like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, I didn't remember this either, but I wasn't surprised because we, even when with your baby in Fuller, we had boys, we had girls.
It's a potato. They look, you know, an infant baby, they barely look like babies, let alone if there's a boy or a girl.
Just put a little knit cap
on it.
But this
was like a toddler that. I totally, yeah.
With all lines right. and everything.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Like, it didn't, yeah. I just didn't, okay.
I didn't even blink twice. I didn't even think, wow, that doesn't look like a boy because they look like boys.
Interesting. I wonder if they played boys on the other shows or if.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
I just had no idea. Isn't that cool? And
yeah,
I think
that.
They come back. I don't know if it's these same twin girls that come back because Howie comes back later.
He does.
In Full House. Yeah. He and Connie. Debbie Gregory, they all come back later. I think for like maybe the wedding episode.
Oh, that's
or
right. They
something.
Do come back for the wedding episode. Yes. The Jesse and Becky
sense.
Wedding episode.
The
that's
Jesse
right.
and Becky wedding. Right.
Got it.
All of that stuff. Okay. So there we go. Those
all
are
right.
our guest stars. Fantastic.
And so surprises all around.
Surprises for everyone. let's get into this recap. We start with the teaser. In Michelle's room, DJ Michelle and Kimmy are all sitting on the floor playing with a basket full of Shar Pei puppies that Kimmy brought over.
Those were Bob Boyette's pets.
Yes.
He loved so Shar Peis, and that was why we had all those Shar Pei puppies. I think he was getting, either had gotten or might have been getting a puppy from that litter or something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Bob Boyette was a huge Shar Pei person. Jeff Franklin was Golden's.
Right.
And Bob Boyette was Shar Peis.
Bob Boyette was Shar Peis, and I don't blame him. Man, they were so wrinkly and cute. Oh, they're just like a warm blanket.
If only you could be that wrinkly and cute as in, you know what I mean? Someone was like, she's just so wrinkly and cute. Yeah.
Yeah, that only applies to puppies. It doesn't really apply to middle-aged
women. You know what? I'm gonna take that on as an old woman. I'm going to be like, I am as adorable as a Shar Pei puppy. That's what I'm going to be.
Those are
Tell
goals.
Me I'm not. Yeah.
Those are good goals, Jody. So Michelle gently pats one of the This is going great. Michelle
she pets
gently
a Shar Pei
pets.
Chunky nut, chewy, chunky nut.
Right. There's so many like tongue twisters in this show. Michelle gently pets one of the puppies.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. Kimmy tells her to say hi fast before her mom sells them for a bundle. So we. Are the Gibblers running are they like breeders? Like backyard breeders? Like what is going on?
Well, we also hear the dog barking. We hear Kimmy's dog barking. Apparently Kimmy's got a Shar Pei.
I had no idea.
The Gibblers have a Shar Pei and an ostrich.
Right. They're breeding Shar Peis in the backyard.
Right.
The ostrich, they try to keep the ostrich away.
Well, the ostrich Shar Peis are very expensive. So you need an attack ostrich in your yard to make sure that
Security.
No one steals them. Yeah.
The ostrich.
I mean, you're gonna mess with an ostrich. You walk on somebody's yard and there's an ostrich there. You'd be like, I'm turning around.
They are terrifying and huge. Very true. So Michelle sweetly says hi, doggy, and Kimmy encourages the girls to teach the dogs some tricks. DJ asks the dogs to roll over, and when they don't budge, Michelle decides to obey the command and roll over by herself. DJ jokes that Michelle makes a great pet. Kimmy questions, I wonder if she can catch a frisbee in her mouth. And that's our teaser. So cute. Just throw some puppies in there and a baby.
You know what? Puppies and babies. How can you go wrong?
Right. The two things they say don't work
the
with.
The two things they don't say work don't work with are also incredibly adorable. So
very true.
I have to say, too, your wig hair in this teaser was.
Oh, geez. Through the whole dang episode. What is wrong?
That was my first comment that I wrote down. More wig hair from AB.
Like, this is definitely an intentional style. Like, my hair was cut like an anchor woman who reproduced with a wolf man. Like, it does. It's like wolf man anchor woman. That's like
an anchor woman from 1989. You know what I mean? With very large hair.
Yes. Yeah. It's bad. Like, whoever thought this was cool? Like, it's not even intentionally bad. It's just bad. It's not like joke hair where they did it to make the joke work.
It was the 80s. Everything was sort of bad. You know?
Unintentionally bad.
Unintentionally bad.
Yeah. That'll be the name of my next memoir. Unintentionally bad. So we're in the living room now. Joey is watering a number of plants, including his big plant, Scooby-Doo. What? Where did these plants come from?
That's exactly what I said. I said, what? We live in a greenhouse now? Who's got all these plants? Joey got plants in the basement? But
Yeah.
And why would you move them into the living room on the wood floor to water them?
Nothing about this made sense. Like, if you're going to move them to the backyard. Where you can put them on the grass.
You can put them on the ground with a hose.
Yeah, this was way more work than was necessary, but hey,
the joke's got to work. Joke's got to work.
So Joey tells Michelle to water her smaller plant, Scrappy-Doo. And Joey does his Scrappy-Doo impression, telling Michelle, water me. Michelle does what she's told and starts to water Joey's foot.
On the hardwood floor.
On the hardwood floor. Like, even I
cringed. And his shoes. He was very calm.
Oh, Danny would not have been that calm. Danny would have screamed.
I would not have been that calm. I would have been like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Don't put water on my shoe.
Right. So then Jesse walks in, telling them they need to watch Danny's show. Apparently, Becky is going to let him know with a wink if he has a date with her tonight. One wink for yes, two winks for no. Joey tells them if she gets something in her eye, you could end up engaged. So Jesse turns on Wake Up San Francisco and closely monitors Becky. Becky makes an announcement. I thought it'd be fun to see our city fresh through the eyes of a typical tourist from the Midwest, Mr. Anderson. A toddler walks onto the set, and Becky sets him in her lap. Michelle sees the boy and goes, ooh. Danny asks Mr. Anderson what brings him to San Francisco, and the boy answers, mommy. Becky tells Howie to say hi to the Bay Area, and Howie waves, hi, Bay. And Michelle gushes, hi, Howie.
Maybe that was the introduction of Bay as in B-A-E. He was like, hey, Bay. And
hey,
Michelle
Bay.
Was like, hi, Howie. And that was how it started.
This is it. Yeah. The origin of Bay.
Yeah.
Bay.
Yeah.
Wait, doesn't that stand for...
Before all else. B-A-E.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. My kids taught me that. Yeah. I forgot it.
Before all else. You're Bay.
I love that. Bay.
I mean, it's a little dated now. We're showing our age in many ways.
I still use it. Well, I'm dated. I am out of touch.
And that's why the death knell has rung. No, because we're old. Okay.
We're old.
Anyway. Hi, Bay.
So Howie waves, hey, Bay. And Becky explains this little boy is actually her nephew visiting from Nebraska. Michelle watches the TV intently and shouts, Howie, cute. She is very smitten.
Yeah.
Smitten. When Becky shamelessly uses this time to say hi to her family, Danny scolds her for doing so. But not before he says hi to his mom, dad, and cousin Ed. Becky apologizes, saying she thought it would be a nice gesture. Emphasis on the gesture
right.
For Jesse. Then she gives two winks to the camera, and Jesse springs up. Hot dog,
wait,
Joseph,
wait, two winks was a no.
Right.
Two
John
winks
got this
was
wrong.
A no.
I guarantee this was a John mistake and not like a script continuity mistake. This was John who said the line wrong, but they kept it all
or
in
maybe,
anyways.
Well, because they would have shot them in the studio separately. So maybe they shot it before or after and Lori did two winks and then John said, you know what I mean? And nobody quite.
Nobody put it together. Yeah. No, this
basically,
was a huge...
all I'm saying is Becky said no. That's
Becky said no.
And there's the interesting storyline.
Maybe that's actually part of the storyline. Yeah, is that Jesse mistook her no as Jesse would do.
Right.
Because he's like, of course she wants to go out with me. Yeah, of course, he's not insecure at all. Okay, so Jesse's excited. He wants to chill the champagne. He's excited about this date. Becky tells Howie to give a kiss to San Francisco before hopping off. So he does. Michelle blows a kiss right back. Jesse picks her up, telling Joey it looks like Michelle has her very first crush. Joey asks Michelle if she likes Howie, and she responds, nice boy.
Nice boy.
All right.
He is a nice boy.
He's a nice boy, or nice twin girl.
Nice, yeah.
Nice all
whatever.
Around.
Whatever. Yeah. I always am confused, too, because I feel like Danny and Rebecca just jump into this show and don't talk or have a pre-meeting about it at all. They're
no.
just like, it's. They're
There's
both
no
surprised
meeting.
By whatever is going to happen. It's the most live television show ever.
Yeah, they're just rolling with what, it's kind of like us,
He's
right?
like, your nephew, right, yeah, no, hey, here's a guest on our show today that you know nothing about. Like, it was.
For no reason. Except to say hi to cousin Ed and mom and dad and grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
The nepotism runs strong in this family. Just saying.
Yeah, the original Nepo babies, really.
Right here.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais. And the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out, we'll make it like it's 1988, no yes. phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
So next in Michelle's room, Jesse and Joey excitedly walk in, telling Michelle she'll never guess who's right outside her door. Gee, I wonder who that could be. Joey turns on his announcer voice to introduce the bachelor who's waiting right outside. He's 2'9" and has blonde hair and baby blue eyes. His hobbies are playing with his food and hiding his shoes in the toilet. Say hello to Howie Anderson. Becky walks in holding Howie's hand. Michelle yells, "Howie!" with a big grin on her face. Becky encourages Howie to say hi, and he shyly responds, "Hi, Michelle." Joey turns his attention to Michelle. "I know what you're thinking. He's a lot taller in person." He was very tall. The girls, they were very tall. Like, I don't know how old they were, but tall kids. Michelle walks over to Howie and hands him an animal cracker. He politely thanks her and takes a bite.
Those are delicious, by the way. Love those. Oh, the ones in the little box like that, the Barnums?
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite.
Even the smell. Like it's
I always used to buy those when I was a kid. They'd have them at the grocery store, and I would beg my mom when I was like four. I wanted the little box of animal cookies.
It's perfect. Yeah, that's right by the checkout. Yeah. It's usually a dollar. Yeah. Those were the best.
Not anymore.
No, no. Now it's, It's sold at the Hurry Mart for $6.99 along with the milk.
See? Right? Yeah, exactly. Along with a $12 loaf of bread, which you're not sure if is a deal or not.
Right. We don't know. So DJ and Stephanie say hi to Howie, and he waves back, "Hi, girls." Steph nods in approval. "He's cute, Michelle. Now you have a boyfriend, and I have a boyfriend." And she points to DJ and shrugs. "Two out of three ain't bad."
I mean, she stole Harry, and then Steph got him back. So I feel like that dig was warranted.
This was the best burn. Like, this was the ultimate little sister. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have a boyfriend.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're a loser. Right, yeah. Steph is just...
I loved it. It was such a good delivery. So DJ rolls her eyes, and Steph awkwardly giggles before running out of the room, and DJ follows her. Danny asks Jesse if he can watch the girls tonight because he wants to catch Joey's set at the Laugh Machine. Jesse mentions that he and Becky were supposed to go out tonight, but Becky chimes in, "No, that's okay. I can bring Howie back here. That way I can give my sister a break on her last night in town." She walks over to Jesse, rubs his shoulders, leaning down to tell him, "The kids can play, and later you and I can play."
Ooh, oh, Lord.
Right? Oh, yeah, this was saucy.
Saucy.
The crowd lets out a ooh, yeah. And Jesse shouts, "Have mercy." This is like, again, it Get a room, Jesse and Becky.
That's not Michelle's room or occupied by the rest of the family. Please. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't need to hear your Please. I don't need to hear your flirting. Ugh. Your potential sexting. Yeah. I don't, just don't need to
just no. We don't need that. No, we don't need that. Jesse leans down to tell Michelle it's our very first double date. She responds by feeding another animal cracker to Howie. Jesse walks up and grabs a cracker from the box, feeding an elephant to Becky. Becky jokes, I see where Michelle got that little trick. And Jesse defends, hey, I got it from the kid. Everyone gives him a knowing glare, and he insists, ask her. Michelle looks up at Jesse and shakes her head, no. Okay.
I wasn't quite sure what that was, but I was like, so are they, what, is he teaching Michelle to put cookies in random people's mouths? I wasn't sure what the...
Yeah, the through line wasn't through.
Like, yeah, I was like, is this a thing that Jesse does? Is go and shove cookies into people's mouths? I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah, and the double date, like they're staying in. So is it a double date at home with animal cracker? I don't know. Whatever. You're thinking too hard.
It's a sitcom. It's a toddler date. Okay, it's a toddler date, and that's all you need.
And it involves animal crackers. It's all we need to know. So next we're in DJ and Steph's room. Stephanie is playing with a paddle ball.
Trying to keep a straight face.
You're trying so hard not to laugh. Yeah. It's so great. She just can't get the hang of it. So she concludes that it must be broken. DJ, who's fully annoyed with the ball in her face, takes the scissors and cuts the string. There, it's fixed.
Those really are some of the most annoying toys. And we've all made the mistake of being like, oh, it's like a stocking stuffer, a thing in an Easter. I mean, it's just that bong, bong, bong. No. And they just do it right at your head. Yeah.
Right at your head. It always hits you in the face. You always get a bruise.
I think that's why I was laughing, because I kept hitting myself in the face.
Of course you did. I'm surprised you didn't poke an eye out. Right. So Steph fires back, good, because it's yours. So DJ just cut her own toy. Then Kimmy runs in with her Wolfman hair announcing, I got it. The all-time monster classic, The Wolfman.
The origin story. Jeez,
the feathering on my hair. Like, it is just extreme. That should be illegal.
Yeah, it was more than feathering, I feel like. It was tar and feathering. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Teasing and feathering is what it was.
DJ takes the VSH tape. Ooh,
VHS.
And exclaims, all right. What did I say?
VSH.
VSH. It's been that long since I've held one.
You know what? You can say whatever, because everyone listening to this is probably like, what's that? Yeah.
They don't know.
It's true.
Okay. So DJ takes the VHS tape and exclaims, all right. And then Steph takes it from her, shouting, all right. DJ takes the tape back and says, all wrong. You're not going to watch this movie with us. Steph insists, yes, I am. This is my house, too. Steph stops her. This is too scary for you, and this conversation is over. Stephanie steals the tape back and starts yelling for Uncle Jesse. Kimmy rolls her eyes. She is such a tattletale. Steph is insulted. I am not. And I'm telling you said that.
Yeah, such a little sister move. Just
such a little sister. Totally unaware that she's tattling once again.
Right. Well, and that's that age when they're like, but I'm telling the truth. And you're like, but I don't need to know. Is anyone bleeding or dying? Then I don't care.
Right. So Jesse strolls in asking what's going on as Becky follows behind him. Steph tells on the girls. They say I can't watch The Wolfman. Jesse takes the tape in amusement, telling Rebecca how great this movie is. He tells her this guy's got scarier hair than
Kimmy
Don
Gibbler.
King. That would have been a better joke by far. Yeah. Yes. Steph yells, I gotta see this movie. And DJ tells her, you're too young. Remember when you watched The Blob? You wouldn't go near Jell-O for a month. Steph doesn't think that's a valid point. She watched The Wizard of Oz and didn't get scared of the Wicked Witch of the West. She turns to Jesse and Becky, giving them her scariest witch impression.
Yeah.
You were so into that.
I was
like, go Jody.
Oh, yeah.
Go Jody. Yeah. She slyly says, see, I'm cool. Jesse laughs and Becky tells him that maybe Steph should wait until she's a little bit older. Jesse shrugs it off, saying they can handle it. He leans down to Steph, reminding her that the Wolfman is just a regular guy who gets a little cranky when the moon comes out.
He's a little PMS-y. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, he's allowed.
Pre-moon syndrome.
Pre-moon syndrome. There's eclipse jokes in there somewhere. I'm not going to touch that. We're done. We're done with the eclipse.
Please.
Please. Jesse laughs at his own joke, walking out of the room with Rebecca, leaving the girls with the tape. Kimmy assures Stephanie, "You'll be sorry. The Wolfman is going to scare you big time." Steph tells her, "If you don't scare me, nothing will." And the crowd gives a big hoot and holler at this comeback, and even DJ is laughing. Like, DJ, what a traitor.
Steph is brutal in this episode. Can I just say, no one's safe. She's got something, but DJ is just she is going in, and I am here for it. Steph is vicious.
There's
no
mercy.
She will read you right out of the room. Yeah.
I love this. Yeah. At such an early age, too, you were already dishing it out. And Kimmy doesn't even have a comeback. Like, I felt like Kimmy Gibbler should have had a comeback to this, but she's so stunned.
How are you going to come back when a six-year-old insults you like that? You're like, what?
Speechless. Yeah, she was rendered.
And Kimmy
speechless.
Also knew if she said one more thing, the hair was coming up. You know what I mean? Like, it was gonna go right to, like, really? And then,
yeah.
I have to
don't
say,
tell me what to do with that hair. With that,
don't worry about a wolf man when you're rocking that hair. I actually laugh, though, because I remember I actually had a scary movie story that happened with Candace and her sisters in Hawaii.
Oh, no.
So we were a little bit older. I was probably like 9 or 10. Maybe 9.
Was this the Hawaii episode?
This was the Hawaii episode when we were there shooting in Hawaii. And Candace and her sisters, Silence of the Lambs had come out.
Oh, no.
And I had already been watching it. And I loved scary movies and scary stuff, as I still
jam.
Do, as you know.
Oh, yes.
But they were going to watch the movie. And I was like, I want to watch it. And we weren't going to or whatever. My mom was like, you can't watch that movie. Well, needless to say, we went to one of the girls' hotel rooms and all the parents were gone. And so we started watching Silence of the Lambs. And then my mom came to pick me up about halfway through and was like, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jody.
But it was a great movie. I was in it. And that's terrifying.
Okay, but, so you didn't have nightmares? You didn't have...
I mean, I had nightmares, but I don't know that they were necessarily Silence of the Lambs related. I've just always had bad dreams. Like, it's kind of weird. But yeah, maybe
there's a lot to unpack there.
There's a lot. Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
That's a whole other podcast.
Mini-sode. But yeah, when I was watching this episode about the Wolfman and the scary movie, I was like, aw. It was like me and Deej, and we had our real scary movie moment, and then we got in trouble.
Of course, Janice. Of course, Janice catches you and is like, I told you not to do that.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Oh, Janice. Love her. So next in Jesse's room, Becky confronts Danny, saying she doesn't think.
What? You said Danny.
Oh, you're right. I did say Danny. Becky confronts Jesse, saying she doesn't think Stephanie is old enough to watch The Wolfman. Jesse waves her off, saying it's just a fun monster movie. Becky asks, what's fun about a guy with a lot of hair who bites people? He smirks and tells her, come here, I'll show you. At least they're alone. Like, you
at least they're alone, yeah.
If you're alone. Okay, so I'll allow this one.
This one's fine.
Jesse leans in to kiss her and she giggles, but she continues the conversation. She asks Jesse if he would allow his own kids to watch anything they wanted. Jesse shrugs. I'd make sure little Dustin knows the difference between real and make-believe. But Becky interrupts him. Dustin? Jesse nods. And Becky starts to laugh, questioning, you would name a kid Dustin?
I don't see Jesse as picking Dustin as a name, but that's just me.
Yeah. I feel like
he'd go something more Greek.
Hardcore.
He'd go more Greek.
Yeah, more Greek. More like rock and roll.
Right.
Well, he ended up picking, Nikki and Alex. Those are pretty normal names.
Nicholas and Alexander.
Okay.
Well, no. Glad we solved that. Okay.
But Dustin, yes. Dustin, that's not it. And I like the name Dustin. My brother's name is Justin.
I feel like Danny would have named someone Dustin.
That's a more Danny name. Yeah,
Dustin
I agree.
Dustin and Cleanin'.
A little more straight-laced. Yeah. So Becky tells him that she has a better name, Emily. And Jesse assures, no son of ours is going to be called Emily. Becky retorts, our daughter's name is Emily. Our son's name is Prescott. Jesse is shocked. Prescott? You might as well name him Emily. And I love the way John says Prescott, like it's just dripping with disdain.
Right. And I always hear it as Prescott because the town in Arizona is, it looks like Prescott, but everyone calls it Prescott.
Oh, is that how you say it? Prescott? Prescott. I did not know that.
In Arizona, you go to Prescott, not Prescott, but Prescott.
Oh, so that's how you tell who the local, you can tell the locals from the tourists because of how they pronounce Prescott. The name. I'll have to remember that next time I'm rolling through Arizona. All right. So Jesse and Becky are arguing whether or not their son will be named Prescott or Dustin.
I love productive arguments like this. I have them with my kids often. We're like, we're arguing about something that doesn't even exist. What are we doing?
Like, why are we still fighting about this, right? Jesse pauses the argument. When did we have a kid? Right?
Yeah.
Becky laughs. I don't know. I'm sorry I missed it. They both awkwardly laugh about their fictional child, and Jesse admits he's embarrassed. Becky says she'll make him a deal. We won't name our kids until we've been dating at least 3 months.
That feels legit. That feels like a good idea. You know, 3 months.
At least 3 months, right?
Well, they're excited. Like, they're, you know, new love.
They're in the honeymoon phase. Yeah, they're in love. So they agree that's a fair deal. And then they cross their legs over each other's and stack their hands on top of each other's. And it's very
cute sweet.
Chemistry.
That was, that was one of those moments where I went, oh, I see why Jesse and Becky were so, like, people loved them together so much. They were very cute.
Yeah. On the page and the script, I'm sure that like they were rolling their eyes like, oh, this is such a hokey thing. But it turned out cute. Yeah. Like they made it work. Yeah. And it was actually really
sweet.
Jokes
got to work. And sometimes it does.
Sometimes they make it work. So next in the living room, the girls are watching the Wolf Man. And it's very dark. Kimmy imitates the wolf howl. And when DJ and Steph give her a dirty look, she defends herself. Hey, I'm into it.
She was just feeling her family lineage.
Is this the first? I almost called you Stephanie. Jody?
Stephanie?
Kimmy? Is this the very first she-wolf howl? Like, I feel like this is a precursor to the she-wolf howl
You know what? Like now it's making sense why we were she-wolves.
Yes, because that did seem random.
It came from Kimmy and her affinity for the Wolfman and her hair.
Her lineage.
Her lineage, right. She was like, you know what we should be, guys, is she-wolves. And everyone's like, wait, didn't you? Oh, yeah, now that makes sense.
Yeah, it all makes sense now. Yep.
Got it.
We are answering questions.
This is the OG she-wolf howl. So thank you, Kimmy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. You're very welcome. And I believe in Fuller, you guys reacted the same way, where you're just like, what? Why are you doing that? But you guys eventually came around.
We did.
And started loving the she-wolf howl. Yeah. Okay. I feel vindicated. So in the movie, a woman is running through the woods and DJ yells to warn her that the Wolfman is behind a tree. Stephanie questions, why is she in the woods anyway? She should be in a restaurant.
That is such a legitimate question. Why are you running through the woods in the middle of the night? You should be in a restaurant or somewhere that's not, you know, it's nighttime. Go do something sensible.
Steph is so practical.
This is an idiot. Why is she in the woods? Right.
It's a little victim blaming.
But it is. But when you watch a scary movie, you're like, what are you doing? You know, Steph is already
there.
Have
you not seen any other horror movies? Like, this is what happens. Right. You're alone in the woods. Well, gee, what could go wrong?
And looking at just the brief excerpt from that movie, I think saying that she's running through the woods is really giving that setback a lot. Because it was like a stage floor and like a cutout tree.
Production value is not very high with the Wolfman. Yeah. But
well, they spent all of the money on the hair.
Right, on the prosthetic hair.
Yeah. No, they just actually glued hair to his face. It was like the 30s. There was no prosthetics. They were like, sorry, sir, we're putting this on your face now forever and you'll just be furry.
Yeah, this is it. This is your new look forever. So the Wolfman appears on the screen right as Becky and Jesse walk into the room asking the girls if they would like some drinks. They all scream in unison and throw their popcorn bowls in the air. That wasn't at all scripted.
Slightly 1 second later than everyone else, but that's all right. And by some, I mean me.
It was so, you were a little delayed and it was just like, you could tell we were loving it. Like,
I was like, we get to
make a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny. So Becky tells Jesse she knew they would be scared. He points out they were scared of you, not the movie. The movie is about to get scarier. DJ can tell from the music. Jesse reminds them that this is all just make-believe, but once the Wolfman's face is shown, Everyone, including Jesse, jumps in horror. Jesse pretends like he was just making sure the women were okay. He gets up and excuses himself, leaving Becky and the girls to finish the movie together. Typical Jesse, right. Just, you know, pretending to be tough, but he's really right. Not that
exactly.
Later that night, in Michelle's room, Danny and Joey walk in to find Howie and Michelle sleeping next to each other in her crib. They awe at the sight. Then Jesse, Becky, and Becky's sister walk in, awing when they see them as well. All the adults look at each other and awe in unison.
So much
it
awing.
Was very cute. It's a lot of awing, but the kids were super
they were,
cute.
Yeah, I mean, it is
crib.
When you see two little toddlers in their footy pajamas curled up next to each other, they're very cute. Oh,
it is. You just can't resist that. So Connie, Howie's mom, calls them a cute couple. Jesse tells her they haven't left each other's side all day. Connie and Howie need to get going so they don't miss their flight. Wait, how late is this flight? It's nighttime.
It must
and
be
they're
a
flying to Nebraska.
A red-eye flight to Nebraska?
With a toddler? Like, this is a terrible
this
idea,
seems
Connie.
Like a this seems like really poor planning on Connie's part. I
might take an early morning flight if you have
with
to.
With a toddler. Why are you dragging a toddler? And he's asleep now. You're going to take him to the...
She'll wake him up and put him on a flight.
Yeah, it felt felt like some poor time management. But maybe there was a reason she had to take the red eye. You know, who knows?
Maybe she had to get back to Nebraska to milk the cows and they couldn't wait.
Right.
The cows wake up early
That's
in
true.
The morning.
That's true.
I don't know. So Connie picks Howie up out of the crib and Michelle pouts. Howie, no go. Danny picks her up and tells her, Howie, yes go. Howie, go back home. Michelle sadly says, me go. Danny can't allow that. He sets Michelle down to say goodbye to her boyfriend. Michelle gives him a big hug saying goodbye. Joey comments, well, she's hugging already. She's definitely a Tanner. Danny and Connie pick up their kids, but Howie and Michelle have grabbed onto each other's hands and they aren't letting go. Finally, they pull them apart. Connie and Howie say goodbye to everyone, and Danny sets Michelle back in her crib so she can go back to bed. Michelle stands up in her crib and says in the sweetest, saddest voice, Howie, no bye-bye, over and over and over and over towards her closed door.
I was crushed. This was, I was like, damn, this is
horrible. Oh, they went for it. Yeah.
I was like, wow. Poor, and like, if you've ever had a toddler who's super disappointed about something, like, you know that, you're like, oh God, it was so sad.
Oh. The heartstrings, so tugging on the heartstrings. Ashley or Mary
Kate. I believe it was Ashley.
It was Ashley. She did a great job.
She was great.
She was actually acting.
Right?
You know, this was
well,
fantastic.
And again, all I can picture is Adria off to the side going, how we know, but right. And like being so over exaggerated and feeling ridiculous, but look what it got. It got an incredible reaction.
It worked. It absolutely worked. Well
kudos
done,
to you, Adria. Yeah. Also, do you think they named Howie Anderson after Howie Mandel and Louis Anderson, the comedians, who both, I think, had shows on at the time?
That did not cross my mind even once. Oh. So I don't know.
Yeah. Howie Anderson.
Okay. Let's,
two very famous comedians at the time.
Yeah. But probably. Knowing the writer's room at the time.
I mean,
probably
exactly.
Correct.
You're like, I don't know. Just make him, give him a comedian sounding name. You know, like a 70-year-old, like... But yeah, right. It was an older comedian man name.
Yeah, it works perfectly for a toddler. So we cut to a very sad commercial break.
I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988. No phones. know nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going
to
put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your Rippers bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back from our commercial break. Still in Michelle's room. It's so sad. Danny and Joey are standing over Michelle's crib again. She still hasn't gone to sleep, and it's already 2 a.m. Well, yeah, because you left her alone in the room and shut the door. You didn't turn the light out, and she was crying. Like, right, of course she's not asleep. She's very upset. Michelle's upset. Joey admits it's like she lost her best friend. All she kept saying was, Howie. But Danny shushes him, reminding him not to say the H word. They see that she's finally asleep. They tiptoe out the door, saying goodnight to her.
I also feel like parents that have ever actually tried to get a toddler to sleep and been quiet would be laying on the floor like ninjas. And no one would be talking. You'd be like, oh my God, she's finally asleep. And you'd like slither sort of backwards out of the room along the floor and make sure that nothing made a noise.
Yeah, that's way more accurate.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Like,
once you get a toddler to sleep, it's like, thank goodness.
That's it.
Count your blessings.
Right. And you can move slightly and they pop up and you're like, damn it. Oh, yeah. Damn it.
They have that sixth sense for whenever mom moves or tries to leave. And then they're like, wait, what?
What are you doing?
So in DJ and Stephanie's room, Stephanie is sitting on her bed, wide awake, when she hears a car horn honking outside. She runs to the window to see what's going on and then jumps down to wake DJ up.
Who's honking at 2 in the morning in a residential area? Come on.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. She shakes DJ awake, asking if the horn woke her up. And DJ grumpily tells her, no, you woke me up, you little nerd bomber. Steph responds, I know the Wolfman isn't real, but if he was, would he be driving an Isuzu?
Also, I don't even think Isuzus are cars anymore. I don't think, I mean, not in this country.
So.
They're probably, I don't think they are. But they were like a
very
Subaru
common.
Or,
a, like
yeah,
a
they
Subaru.
Were, it was a like a little, like Japanese truck company, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, have we checked if any of the Gibblers drive an Isuzu? Because if Kimmy got that hair from that side of the family, it could be that someone with very Wolfman-esque hair is driving an Isuzu and trying to park the Gibbler's house.
I bet
house.
The Wolfman lives at the Gibbler house, and there's the dog. Like, they have the dog we hear later.
That's
the howling.
That's, yeah. Yep. Well, he's protecting the Sharpays and the ostrich.
Right. Yeah. We need multiple security detail.
Yeah.
At the Gibbler house.
Well, someone might try. I mean, I don't know who, but someone might try and steal the ostrich. You need the wolfman to scare them away.
So the ostrich is security for the Sharpays, and then the wolfman is security
for the ostrich. Right.
The ostrich. Yes. Okay. Yes. I've got it straight. Yeah, I got it straight. This is brilliant. So DJ reminds Stephanie, the wolfman is just an actor who needs a flea collar. Scary movies are just for fun. Steph admits, in that case, I'm having the funnest night of my life. Ha, ha, ha. She starts to walk back to her bed, but suddenly we hear a howl outside. She darts back to DJ's bed for safety, and DJ tells her that was the Gibbler's dog.
Who's protected by the ostrich, who's protected by the wolfman. You're fine.
Right. Yeah, you're fine, Stephanie. You're fine. DJ offers to get Steph some warm milk to help her sleep. And Steph thanks her, telling her to hurry up.
The warm milk was never... I know that's like an old wives' warm milk.
No. Who actually drinks that?
I don't want my milk heated unless it's for a hot chocolate.
No, I just think of curdling. Like hot milk curdling in the bottom of your stomach.
I mean, it's not hot, but... I mean, it's like a baby bottle. You know, you warm it up.
No, I'm not a fan of milk. I'm definitely not a fan of warm milk.
I do like milk with cookies, but I don't need it to be warm. And I don't know if that just puts you to sleep or just, I don't know. I wouldn't want to fall asleep after drinking warm milk. I'd be afraid something might happen.
It'd be very gassy and just, ugh. Yeah, no, just drink a glass of water and count your sheep.
Yeah, go to bed.
So the camera cuts to a poster of George Michael on DJ's wall, and Steph asks Mr. Bear, did he have that much hair on his face yesterday? Mr. Bear doesn't make a sound, but Stephanie responds back, I didn't think so. She leaps out of DJ's bed and bolts out of the room. We see DJ walking through the living room, and another howl echoes from outside. In the kitchen, we see Steph running down the stairs. The two girls run into each other and start screaming, while DJ starts to strangle Mr. Bear, and Steph is trying to grab him back to safety.
Poor Mr. Bear.
Joey instantly runs into the kitchen and turns the lights off.
Everyone was right there. I will say, when something happens in the middle of the night, these people are up and immediately to the scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Immediately. They're not waking up from their REM cycles. Like, they are just
nobody in this house sleeps. They're just all, like, waiting for something to happen.
Waiting for the next crisis to solve. Right. Yeah. Someone's always awake and waiting. Yep. So Joey asks DJ why she's choking Mr. Bear. And DJ breathlessly tells him, I thought he was the wolfman. And Steph yells, you said there was no wolfman. Joey, go get him. He's driving an Isuzu. Yeah,
that was the delivery of that was, I don't know why, I laughed out loud. Like, it struck, and that, not because it's me, but it just.
No, it was just so, too.
Joey, go get him. He's driving an Isuzu. Like, it was such a.
It was factual. Like, you were factual. Right. Like, you believed this. He was out there.
He is in an Isuzu in the street right now. You need to go get him. It was just funny. Coming from, like, the little pipsqueak me.
It's great. I freaking love Stephanie so much. So Danny bolts down the stairs. He took a beat longer than Joey to get downstairs. He's frantically asking, what's going on? DJ tells him the Wolfman movie scared Stephanie. Danny asks, who allowed Stephanie to watch a monster movie? Cue Jesse walking in. His hair is a mess and his eyes are half closed. DJ and Stephanie both point at him. Jesse's confused. I just woke up. How could I be in trouble? Danny tells him, you let Stephanie watch the Wolfman, and now she can't go to sleep. Jesse defends his actions. DJ and Kimmy were watching, and I didn't. He walks towards the family and mentions to Steph that she said she wouldn't be scared. Steph shouts, and you believed me? Danny crouches down to her and says, I know you want to do everything your big sister does, but some things have to wait until you're older. Steph complains that every time she closes her eyes, she sees that scary wolf man. Joey butts in. I'll admit he's no Rob Lowe, but if you saw him at home with his parents, you'd probably think he's pretty funny. Okay.
I was like, that was random. Yeah.
That was super. There's some random random non sequiturs in
this. That's what I'm saying. This whole show just felt like, I don't know, say that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, make that story about that. It just, it felt.
They didn't have any better jokes, so that's what we
it felt
got.
Like a, it felt like a filler episode. It felt like it one did. Of those where it was like, ah, I don't really, where there's nothing necessarily like moving along, progressing with any of the, I mean, maybe a little bit with Jesse and Becky, but like not really. Yeah. It just felt like a, I don't know, how do we spend this 22 minutes sort of episode, you know?
Right, right. Well, this is what, episode 16, so we're more than midway through the season and the writers are just losing steam.
Yeah, exactly. They're at the mid-season break.
We got no more jokes in us.
I can't do this. I gotta get in my Isuzu and get out of here.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so where am I? Sorry. Oh, yes, Rob Lowe. So we got sidetracked with Rob Lowe. Steph questions, the Wolfman has parents? Get out of here. Joey decides to show her. This is so weird. First, he needs someone with wild, uncontrollable hair. The whole family turns to look at Jesse.
Can you imagine waking up at 2 a.m. and someone that lives in your house is like, hey, let's put on a show.
Let's do a skit.
Right, let's do a skit right now. I'd be like, you're out of your mind and I'm going to bed.
And he's proving what point exactly? I don't know. Like, this is just, yeah, a random non sequitur skit. This is too much. So Jesse reluctantly agrees to be Wolfie, letting out a wimpy growl. Joey takes on the role of the father, Mr. Wolf, and Danny says he'll be the mother, Virginia Wolf.
Which is, I mean, the story of Virginia Wolf is pretty, who's afraid of Virginia Wolf is a pretty dark story, isn't it?
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with wolf men. That's
just
her name.
Well, it's just her name, but it's, yeah, way to bring up a pretty dark play there.
Yeah. Anyway, again, it's a joke. They're like, "Oh, it's well, she's got the same name. Let's just make it into a joke." And it didn't quite land, but okay. Joey turns on his New York accent and acts as a critical father to Wolfman.
He acts as a little old man, like he's like a little old comedian, is what, and it's like it's hilarious.
It's
random, but I'm like
so
sure.
Random.
Okay.
So his mother, Virginia, asks if he was out scaring people again.
In his Dolly voice, by the way. That's Bob's voice that he would do when he would impersonate his mom, Dolly.
His mom, that's
hello.
Right.
Bobby. Yeah.
I'm not going to imitate it, but yes, he's Bobby. Doing that great voice. Wolfman huffs, King Kong does it. Well, the father scolds him, saying there will be no more scaring people, no more chasing cars, and he must tell little Stephanie that he's sorry for scaring her. Jesse smiles and crouches down to Steph, apologizing for letting her watch the movie. Steph smiles. It's okay, Wolfie. I'm not scared anymore. And she gives Jesse a big hug. How was this? Like, this is the weirdest resolution. Like, what was the point? Why couldn't Jesse just apologize? Why did he have to be Wolfie? Like, what?
Now you see why I'm saying this episode, Sea Cruise, Baby Love.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It feels as strangely random as Sea Cruise when you're like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, why are we here? Why are we doing this? Right. I totally agree. So Joey walks over to Steph and tells her anytime she's scared, she just has to turn the scary stuff into something really funny. Steph nods. That'll come in real handy the next time I watch a monster movie, which will be never. DJ grabs Steph's hand so they can go back to bed. Jesse begins to follow them so he can tuck them in, but Joey stops him, saying he'll take care of them. Joey does his Mr. Wolf impression, reminding his son to brush his fangs and comb his face. I have no words left.
Right, you're like, I was,
nothing else I can say about this scene.
Just go back to bed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do this. Yeah, this was a thing.
This was a thing, that we did.
It was a thing that at 2 o'clock in the morning, if it was really going on, I would be, as Danny, I'd be like, what? Go to bed.
Go to bed. Yeah. Yes.
Go to bed.
Go to bed. So then Jesse walks into Michelle's room and finds Michelle standing in her crib, her arms crossed against her chest. Does this child ever sleep? Is her room ever dark?
And have, like, you ever met a toddler that's been this obsessed about something for hours?
No.
Toddlers are like, they have the attention span
like
of a gnat. Yeah. You move them somewhere and they're like, oh, great. You know,
something pretty, something shiny.
It's like you take them to preschool and they forget that they were crying 10 minutes later after their mom left. Like, I don't think Howie has made that much of an impression, but what do I know?
Yeah. This is just beyond obsession at this point.
Right.
So she asks, where's Howie? And Jesse tells her that Howie went back home to Nebraska. He lifts her out of the crib, asking if she wants some breakfast. Michelle answers, I want Howie. She wraps her body around Jesse's leg like a monkey. And Jesse walks around the room with Michelle attached to his leg, yelling for help. Jesse asks her, if I take you for a ride, will that make you happy? She says no. Danny and the rest of the family walk in. He asks Jesse how Michelle is doing, and Michelle responds, "Howie." Danny decides they need to cheer this kid up. Man, if this was a drinking game, like, we would all be sloshed.
Oh my God. Drink every time.
Drink every time Howie
gets mentioned. Be on the floor by that first scene when she's just like, "Howie." Yeah.
Yes. That's it. So Danny decides they need to cheer this kid up. He grabs the stackable rings, encouraging her to play with those. Joey suggests playing zoo. DJ offers to read her a Dr. Seuss book. Stephanie grabs a toy and tells her they can sing "Row, Row, Row Your Boat." Everyone is trying something at the same time.
I was so overstimulated. I was like,
"What is happening?"
Stimulation. No one has slept, so everyone's in a bit of a delirium, apparently, and they're just trying everything. And everyone except the toddler is like, "This is working. This is going really well."
It was
a 2-year-old, the voice of reason, like, "Hey, stop!"
Yeah. Like, I got a headache just watching this scene. Like, it was so overstimulating. The exact opposite of what you want. So Michelle yells at them to stop.
Please.
This toddler is really commanding the room here. She asks, "Where's Howie?" Jesse has just the thing to help. With Michelle still attached to his leg, he walks out of the room. Danny tells the family, "We may have to move to Nebraska." Because that's the only solution to Michelle's obsession with the other toddler. Very practical.
I know, Danny. I try and put my non-logical hat on for these shows, but sometimes, like I said, this one was just, I watched it and I was like.
Yeah. It's
particularly in this next scene.
Oh boy. Here we go. Oh, are you ready?
Oh God. I wasn't.
Do you need a refill?
I watched, if you could have seen my face watching this last night, it was a sight.
A sight to behold. Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, so we are in Jesse's room. Jesse picks Michelle up and plops her on his bed. He lays down next to her and asks, "You know what I love more than anything in this whole world? That's to see you smile." He encourages her to give him a famous Michelle smile, but all she can say is, "Howie." Jesse sighs, reminding her of the family that loves her so much right here.
Because this is all the cogent points made to a 2-year-old. You know?
Right. He tells.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't think. He's explaining, like, "Your family's here that loves you." But what?
The 2-year-old does not get it.
The 2-year-old. She's I don't care. Yeah.
She barely has object permanence. Like, let's just.
But that's what I'm saying. She doesn't have object permanence, really. And so she's how is that happening with Howie?
I don't know. Okay. So Jesse grabs his guitar and he starts to sing. Right. Oh, man. Michelle is still pouting about Howie, but Jesse continues with his song, Michelle's Smiling.
Do you remember? I remember this song and Bob making fun of John.
Yes. Well, because he calls her Michelle. Michelle's Smiling.
I was
And he's so serious about it. He's so into it.
I know.
So
I love you, Uncle Jay. I love you, John.
Yeah. Oh, we love him, of course. But
why did this happen? Was this his idea?
We blame the writers. You're right. Maybe it was John's idea.
You know what I mean? Was he like, we need a song and I've got
one. We got to ask Gary Griffin. Like, what was up with this song?
Ask if Gary's behind this. Uncle Gary Griffin is behind this. I'm going to be like, damn it, Gary. What were you thinking? Maybe he was like, we can't do this. And they did it anyway. And he was like,
it's just so extra. It's so extra. And then we're not even to the montage yet. We dissolve to a flashback. Not just a montage, a flashback montage.
Literally, he's singing and I was like this. And then I went, oh God, a montage.
Make this worse? A flashback montage.
That's what made me go, what the hell is with this episode? And why is it just that they were like, I don't know, throw some things in there. Like, did we all fall ill? Did they just have to come up with 22 minutes of stuff?
Yeah.
Was this like a revenge episode that the writer's room was pissed at somebody? I don't know what happened in this episode, but usually when there's a flashback montage that's that long, it's because you're just trying to fill some time.
Yeah.
Or someone,
out of ideas.
Or characters died.
Yeah.
Like,
It went on for, I aged 10 years just watching this scene and this flashback montage.
I was definitely not smiling by the end of this.
No, me, no one was smiling. Me, not even Michelle.
Michelle was not smiling by the end.
No, no one was smiling really, except maybe Jesse, because it ain't Michelle. That's for sure.
I don't know. Was he smiling? He was smizing. Smizing.
He was smizing. Yeah. He was. He's serious Jesse. So he was smizing.
Serious Jesse. Serious musician Jesse. I love you, John, and I would say all of this right to your face. So
okay, he would say it himself.
He would say it himself. He's like, "What was I doing? Like, I don't know, bro, but you were in it." This is I feel like on the same album as Forever.
Well, I can tolerate Forever more than I can tolerate Michelle's
but
smiling.
But they feel very much in. I feel like they're on the same album. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Jesse's
yeah. Oh,
album.
Definitely.
This is all. Yeah, it's all. It's Jesse's. Yeah. Jesse's greatest
this
hits.
This is Jesse's greatest hits. This is definitely on it. Jesse's worst hits? I don't know. But yeah, no, it's... And if that's not bad enough, during this flashback montage, we suddenly get this very dramatized, Disney-esque song. Like, what was that? Like, just a musical? I don't even know how to describe it. I felt like I was watching a Disney movie, though.
That's what I'm saying. As this particular scene kept going, I just was going, yeah. What?
What is happening? How could they make this worse? And then it would happen.
I'm telling you. That now you see why I said what I said.
I hear you.
What the hell was happening?
So finally, after 84 years, we finally return back to Michelle in the present moment.
Who's not smiling.
She's still not smiling. Jesse finishes the song, and she finally starts to smile. But not long after, she asks, "Where's Howie?"
No, my God, Howie. Like, I can't.
I'm going to tear my eyes out if she says Howie one more time.
I can't. Howie.
Howie. Oh. Like, I now hate the name.
I hate the name Howie.
It's triggering now.
Howie. Shut up. Stop it. I don't want
to
hear it.
Sorry to any Howies that are out there, but Full House ruined your name.
And I feel bad. We got to see this Howie again.
So, thank God we cut to a different
thank
scene.
Thank God we're out
in
of
the
that.
Living room. Right. Thank God. Becky and the whole family are waiting by the TV. They're waiting on Jesse, who walks into the room with Michelle still attached to his leg.
Did they do this all the way down the stairs? That feels dangerous.
I think so, yeah. He plops Michelle up on the coffee table, telling the group that she has a broken heart.
No!
Whoa.
What?
Right?
What?
This is a
no
real
problem. No one's mentioned
problem.
That before. A toddler with a broken heart. Dear God, what do we do?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't get worse than that.
We
a
should
all
with
a broken
just
heart.
Shout and sing things at her. And I'm sure that will not overstimulate her and make it all better. What is happening?
It's like no one has parenting experience in this family. No
and
one.
And then the next thing that happens is...
Buckle up. Here we go. Here we go. So Becky smiles.
Becky
she leans
smiling.
Into Michelle. Becky's smiling. Becky has a tape. She has a tape that might help. Everyone directs.
Isn't it the next day?
It must be. Yeah, it must be morning. Did they survive the night?
Next? She's still in her pajamas. Oh, that's right. They shot it at the airport. Okay, never mind. That wasn't the airport.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
With the red eye. Yeah, right before the Connie and Howie
took
the red
eye. Wasn't he in his pajamas?
Eye.
Now he's dressed?
Yeah. Connie does not want to bring her pajama child. Like, she dressed him properly, you know?
Yeah, because on a red eye flight, you don't want your kids nice. Sleeping. God forbid. You should dress them as uncomfortably as possible.
Yes. It's Full House logic. Right. It makes perfect sense. Okay, so everyone directs their attention to the TV. And Howie pops onto the screen.
Damn it, Howie.
You're never going to believe this, but Michelle screams, "Howie!" and claps her hands together.
Why isn't this episode just called Howie?
They really missed the mark on that one. Howie. So Howie waves, saying hi to Michelle. She has a big grin on her face as she says hi back. He asks, "How are you?" And she responds, "I'm fine." He says, "I miss you." And she smiles. Me too.
How are they having
this
a FaceTime?
This is very natural.
How are they having a FaceTime? They're FaceTiming.
Okay, that's right.
FaceTimes don't exist.
Zoom?
I was like,
this is pre-Zoom?
What? Why are you talking?
Yeah,
back and forth?
That's
what
true.
Is happening? This
what
isn't
is happening?
A FaceTime.
It's not live. Right. It's pre-recorded at the airport. But they just know. They finish each other's sentences. They know what they're going to ask and respond. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're obviously deeply connected and meant to be together.
They're soulmates.
Jesus.
It's FaceTime before FaceTime.
Well, and then Joey even suggests a thing like
oh, yeah.
Video dating. I was like, also, we invent Bay
Fisher-Price
in this
video
episode.
Dating.
We invent Bay and FaceTime.
Wow. Wow, this is a revolutionary.
The Tanners and the previous episode, working from home. The Tanners were so far ahead of their times.
We were trendsetters back in the 80s. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Okay, so there were two good things to come out of this episode.
Yeah. I mean, the guys should have gone to work in tech being in San Francisco. You know.
Yeah, true. Very true. So Becky tells them that they made this video last night at the airport, and she thought the two would make great video pals.
How are you a video pal? What does that even mean?
I don't know. Like the.
I mean, I remember Michelle's remember the video dating though. That was where you would do that and make a like a VHS tape and like, and then you'd send it to like a thing and people would go check out random videotapes of people online. That was like the invention of video dating. That's when Joey says video dating. That was a thing.
That was a thing
in the
before apps and before cell phones.
It was video dating, and it was done like over VHS. People would like record a little video, and there would be places, and it was like a video dating service, and you would go and tell them what kind of person you liked or whatever, and then they'd give you, you know, 7 videotapes of random strangers that had made a terribly uncomfortable video.
This is horrifying. This is horrifying. Oh,
you can find them. You can find them on the internet, and let me tell you, it is. Gold.
That's a rabbit hole, man. That's a great way to waste an afternoon.
You can find these videos of like people, and it's every bit as awkward as you would think it would be because of the people who were video dating in the 80s.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Is it as awkward as the video between Michelle and Howie? Is it as awkward? More awkward or less awkward?
I would say more so, but only because they're not actually communicating with another human. They're just rattling on about themselves.
Talking to themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Howie and Michelle were obviously having a conversation.
Obviously. They could read each other's minds. Of course. So DJ finally says this out loud. She tells him this is weird. Thank you, DJ.
But not for the reason that any of us are thinking. She's like, this is weird. You're like, Michelle's a human. What? What are you
Michelle,
talking
yes,
about?
Michelle's only 2, but she's acting like a real person as opposed to the fake baby stand-in. Like, I was like,
what are you?
Who wrote this? It was Jeff Franklin. Jeff Franklin wrote this too.
I love you.
I need to have some words with him. DJ realizes, I guess you're never too young to need a friend. And Steph smiles. Our little Michelle is growing up. Okay. Becky offers, maybe it's time to put her in a playgroup with kids.
She's already in a long-distance relationship, so.
Well, yeah, no, she's
video dating, you know?
She's video dating now at the tender age of 2. Yes. But thank goodness Becky finally says, hey, we should put her in a playgroup with kids her own age. Yes, you think she needs socialization outside the full house?
Everyone's shocked that this kid, wow, it's almost like human beings need other people.
They need companionship.
From a young age.
What?
Right. I was like, there's 2 other kids in this house. Did they never go? Did they not? I mean, they have friends. Yeah, did they not go to preschool?
I don't know. Yeah. I have questions. I have so many questions.
Man, this one was thoughts mm-hmm. on thoughts.
So Jesse tells Becky, I am so impressed with you. You were right on about everything. You were right about the monster movie. You came up with this idea to make a tape for Michelle. You're going to make a great mom.
And you're also just a pretty decently functioning human being. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not that hard, you know? It's not that hard.
Not that hard.
Becky smiles. She says, thank you. You already are one. Meaning a great mom.
I don't know. He let the kids watch the... That was the whole point of the show, he wasn't.
The whole point was that he was a terrible mom, right? He's a terrible parent.
Becky's lying to him. I'm just saying.
Michelle yells, Howie, again.
God.
And Joey reminds her, you just saw Howie.
Why do we have to keep calling him Howie? Can't we just say him? Why can't we use a... You just saw him. We have to keep saying Howie.
No, Howie. You have to say Howie as many times as possible
just
in 22
wait.
Minutes.
Just wait.
Michelle starts to chant right on cue.
Howie.
Howie.
Howie. Oh my Howie. God. I hate this name. Yeah. What?
Danny tells the family, why don't we watch a little HTV? All Howie. All the time.
That was the precursor to HGTV.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. HGTV. Okay. We invented that too. Yeah. He clicks on the Howie tape again and it shows Howie blowing a kiss. Michelle blows a kiss right back. Howie blows another kiss, and the whole family.
Because it's a FaceTime.
It's a FaceTime. The whole family then blows a giant kiss right back at Howie in unison. Danny picks up Michelle and they all start to chant, Howie, Howie. And that's our show. But how? Why are these adults placating this two-year-old? Like, everyone is going to the maximum amount of effort to placate this toddler.
I don't even know what was happening in this episode. What?
This is the most sitcom-y ending.
I mean,
this is the sitcom-iest sitcom ending in the history of sitcoms.
The sitcom-iest sitcom ending, and I feel like it's sort of it's like the origin story to how Howie becomes like a narcissistic villain because he's just like getting everyone to chant his name and people yeah. to, and he has some mind control thing over people.
Oh,
I don't know.
This is definitely going to his head. Yeah. It's it was so extra. This whole episode, every part of it was so extra.
I wish I would have counted the amount of times that Howie was said.
Yeah. I'm sure someone out there has already done that, but yes.
If they haven't, please do and send it to us and let us know.
We would like to know. We don't want to watch it again.
No, God, no. We would like to know the answer to the question. I just want to know how many times the word Howie is said, because I do think this would make an excellent drinking game for people, but I want to make sure it's not going to kill anyone. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. Like, if you drink every time you say
Howie,
right, we've got to be responsible with this. It could be like 87 times, which I think it could be.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. And you thought Kimmy's hair was bad. At least the rest of the episode distracted from the horrible wig. Wig hair.
I would have taken an entire episode just about Kimmy's hair over Howie. You know? That some sort of haircut story? How did it get there? How did watching Kimmy do her hair in the morning? That would have been a story. But Howie and his fake FaceTime. And we know that the camera it was shot on, you know, was a giant, like, Becky's hauling around a gigantic thing.
No, it's not, like, convenient. Yeah, no, it's pre-planned. You have to get the video recorder out, dust it off,
and again,
hoist it onto your shoulder.
At the airport.
At, like, 11 p.m.
At, like, 11 p.m. Let the poor kid sleep. You already woke him up and got him dressed. Yeah. Now you're making him shoot a video?
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't. Howie didn't mind. Howie was like,
"Yeah, sure.
I got this whole family. I have this whole family in the palm of my hand."
Right? Yeah, he's like, "They're all under my control now." Right? Like Howie is. I don't even know.
Oh man, if we could talk to those twins now, the girl twins that played Howie, like, how do they feel about it? I gotta know. How do they feel about their debut as Howie?
Yeah, nothing personal against the two people that played Howie.
No.
But
of course not.
I don't ever want to see Howie again, and I know we will.
Yes, Howie's coming back. Connie's coming back. God. And this episode sort of gave me some feelings about young child actors, like, because this is a very Michelle. This is one of the first Michelle-centric episodes.
Yeah.
The Olsons had a lot.
Yeah, they did.
To do. They did very well, too. They did very well with the acting side of it, but this is the first time where I felt like instead of just seeing a toddler doing something cute.
Right. Doing what toddlers
they were being
do.
Coached.
Yes.
This they were clearly being coached, and Adria was clearly giving them cues on how to say these sad lines.
And I think as they started talking more, and they realized, like, oh, they'll repeat lines. They'll say it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it was like, well, they've started taking kind of. But yeah, it felt again? It was because she was so weirdly obsessed with Howie and 2 year olds. Yeah. I don't know. My kids just weren't like that, but I don't know that I've ever seen a child get that attached to a media. I don't know.
Another person. Well, yeah, my kids would get attached to, like, their lovies,
right? Their
special,
like,
blankets
stuff, right?
Or a
but
toy.
But with them all the time, not like a random person that they'd never met on and who they saw on a TV show.
Yeah, that is
again.
Very
I do
strange.
Think we need to socialize Michelle though, because when she saw another kid on TV, she was like, "Oh, ooh!"
Like the first time she ever saw another kid.
They don't. I mean, I guess they don't let her out of the house.
She was like, "People exist outside of the full house."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it was very extreme. This is the start of the Michelle centric. The show slowly becomes more Michelle centered.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is the beginning of it. This is the beginning of, you know, Ashley and Mary Kate having to do a lot more on the show.
And I,
just, I have feelings about that. I'm like, I feel kind of bad because of their age. They can't, they were two, so they can't really say, no, I don't want to do this, or yes, I do want to do this. I'm sure they were having fun, but it's still work. It's still a job, and it's work.
Yeah, I know they were having fun. Yeah, this was the one the most where I was like, oh, they had to like do the, you know what I mean? They had to like repeat stuff and do it. And it is a lot, but. Yeah. God, I'm just so glad that it's over.
Thank God it's over. Thank God it is over.
See?
We never have to watch it again.
No. Now we have the two worst so far of each season. We have what worst of seasons.
Yeah, no, this is definitely the worst of season two. Yeah. Right up there with Sea Cruise. Yeah. It's there's very few redeeming qualities about this episode, but that's all right. Did you have any everywhere you looks?
I was so busy. Trying to not look at Howie or hear his name that I didn't notice. No, I don't think I did have any. I didn't have any everywhere you looks in this one.
Yeah, I didn't either. If our audience, if our listeners, if you have any, please chime in on the Instagram page because we were just stunned into silence about like what did we just watch? Yeah. It was a thing that we watched.
That was an episode, all right. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you for joining us again for another obviously fabulous episode of Full House and How Rude Tanneritos. No, we have had so much fun with this. Thanks for joining along and letting us just poke fun at the ridiculousness of what this show was. But thank you guys so much for listening. We love doing the show. If you want to find us on Instagram, you can check us out at How Rude Podcast. You can also send us emails with all of the important information, like how many times we say Howie, any other, things that you
have.
Critical information that we may have missed, you're everywhere you look, all that kind of stuff. You can email us at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. And why did I just forget what everything else it was? Oh, no. Here we go.
Howie. Just say Howie.
That's literally all I can think of right now. Howie. I was going to say, make sure that you are liking and subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening so that you can make sure and get all of the newest episodes right when they drop so that you'll never miss another moment of Howie again. all Howie all the time. Oh man. Well, thanks for joining us this week, you guys. We love you. And remember.
And we're sorry.
And the world is small, but the house is full. Of Howie.
I thought you were going to say, the house is full of Howie.
The house is full of Howie. It's everywhere. Yeah.
It's Howie is everywhere you look.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweeten from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.